Welcome here to Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on wakeupcalldt.com, your one-stop sports shop, and the free Wake Up Call DT app, which you can find on the Google Play Store, as well as for all Apple products. Over 480 shows that you can listen to at any time, including the one you're listening to right now, and I'm very happy to have on the show Lemoyne Basketball Women's Head Coach Gina Castelli on the show with me here to talk about what brought her to Lemoyne, to look at basketball in general and what her vision is. So I'm very happy to welcome Gina to the show for a special to look back on where she came from and where she is now. Gina, how are you doing today?
I'm very good. Thanks for having me on, Dan.
Absolutely. And first and foremost, your passion for basketball, where did it all start? Where did it come from?
Oh, wow. Well, you know, that's a loaded question, to be honest with you. I can go way, way back into my early years when I just started playing basketball at the age of 5. And I had a cousin that was really into athletics and, you know, started teaching me how to play the game. And to be honest, it just kind of went from there. I just had a real love for it. So from 5 years old on, I either played the game and, you know, now coaching it for over 20 years. It's just been a part of who I am. And I'm certainly blessed to be able to do it all of my life, which, you know, a lot of people can't do.
When you started to connect to basketball and started to grow and started to play yourself, what brought you to the point of saying, I want to be on the coaching side, I want to mold young minds? What brought you to that notion that was the right thing for you?
Well, it actually wasn't anything that I really wanted to do. I'd gone to Canisius College and played basketball there, had a really good career, and played for a woman who was a nun, Sister Maria Paris, who's also coaching still in the Western New York area. And she had taken a job my senior year, at the end of my senior year. She was going to Marquette University. My degree was in athletic training and physical education, so I actually wanted to be an athletic trainer. But I was up in the air in terms of where I wanted to go and my next step in terms of graduate school. And she offered me an opportunity to go with her to Marquette as the assistant coach with her. And coaching, honestly, was the last thing I wanted to do. I didn't think I was knowledgeable enough, good enough, and, you know, all those things that you second-guess yourself on. But when I went to Marquette, I just fell in love with it. I really loved being able to teach the game of basketball to young people. I found it very rewarding. We had a really good season at Marquette. They hadn't had a winning season in a long time. And we had won some games, which was really a big thing there. So we were putting it on the map in the sense. So that's actually how it all started. And then from there, I left Marquette and I tried to pursue a counseling degree, really. I wasn't sure if I wanted to stay, you know, in Milwaukee. And so I went back home to Buffalo and I did some coaching on the side in high school, and I loved it again. And then Sister Maria brought me to a place called Siena, which they were looking for an assistant coach. And she said, look, you know, I know that you're missing coaching. You know, I know this guy, Jim Jaber, that's the head coach here. And why don't you look into applying for this position? And I did. And he hired me as the assistant. And ironically, what happened was he took the job at Marquette my very first year at Siena as an assistant. He was offered the job. Sister Maria left, and he took that job. And then the job at Siena was offered to me as the head coach, and I was there for 22 years. And then from that point on, you know, obviously kind of the rest is history. I stayed at Siena for a long time and developed my skills. And then at Siena, we had some great, great years. At the end of my career at Siena, we didn't have such great years that, I left and I took a year off and was an assistant at the University of Rhode Island. And after that, I ended up at Lemoyne. Lemoyne, the job was open. I was really intrigued with this position because I knew Lemoyne was a very good school academically. It was in Syracuse, which is very close to my hometown in Buffalo, and I also have relatives and family in Albany, so I felt like I could still be connected to my family. I loved the Any-10. I knew a lot of coaches that coached in the Any-10, and I thought that this league would be competitive enough, which it is, to win a national championship. So I thought there were a lot of different goals for me here that I couldn't pursue at the Division I level when I was coaching at Siena, because coaching out at places like Siena and lower to mid D1s, it's very difficult to win a national championship. So there are a lot of reasons why I took the job here at Lemoyne. And I'm very, very happy, and I'm very, very lucky to still be coaching. I think a lot of people can't have the luck that I've had throughout my career.
When you look at, like you had said, being at Siena for such a long time, but it's hard with a mid to lower major to win a national championship. You did so many great things at Siena, achieved so many things, the MAAC Coach of the Year 5 times, everything that you did in the regular season championships to being having the 3rd most wins in the conference's history in the MAAC. To have all of that, to do all the great things that you did at Siena, when it came down to it, at the Division I level at Siena, when you make mention of it's so hard to go from a place like Siena and win a national championship, do you look back and at least appreciate and know all the good that it gave you? Because on paper, you had a very, very strong career while you were there.
Oh, absolutely. It's another good question. When I look back at my career at Siena, the one thing that I would say is that I was an assistant, a college assistant coach for 2 years, once at Marquette for a year and, for a short stint at Siena. And so I was so lucky to be around great men's coaches. There were so many great coaches that went through that program, from, Paul Hewitt to Fran McCaffrey to all of them, Mike Dean. I learned, my trade from most of these guys that were there. Everything I do, is a little bit of, everything I've learned from any coach that was there on the men's side. So I'm super lucky in that sense. And Siena was a place where, like Lemoyne now, we were growing into it. So at the time when I took the job, you could make a lot of mistakes, and the pressure to win wasn't as great as the pressure to win, later in my career. So we were able to develop as a program from, hiring more assistant coaches to expanding our camps, to expanding community service, to working with alumni. So we created an unbelievable program there, not just in terms of winning teams, but also, in what we did across the board, So I really feel like I definitely learned a lot, and I was very lucky that they stayed with me for a long time, because, it doesn't happen, especially in this day and age. If you're not winning, it doesn't happen. And so, I was lucky to be a part of that, to make the mistakes, to grow into it, and obviously have a really, really good career there, and being able to share it now here at Lemoyne. I often say, that I'm very, very blessed and incredibly grateful to that.
When you talk about this Lemoyne program, Gina, you said that coming to Lemoyne and being in Division II of the NCAA, as opposed to staying at Siena, you saw this team and you see this team as a team capable of winning a national championship. What makes you believe that that statement is true?
Well, I look at the NE10, and it's a dogfight every day. I see us as kind of like the Syracuse, with Syracuse being in the top, Division I league, let's say in the ACC. That's kind of how I look at the NE10. We're in the top D2 league in the country. So, when a team in your league wins the national championship the year that I was here, my first year, it says a lot to me that, we can do it. Why do I think we can do it here? Because I feel like Lemoyne, we're in a sense alone on the island here. Most of the teams in the NE10 are New England based, or metropolitan New York area, Connecticut area. Our recruiting pool is way different. We don't have to compete against a lot of these teams. We can really get some kids, from all over. Whether it's Western Mass, Ohio. You can grab kids from different areas, and I do believe that we could win it here because of what we offer our players. It's not just the NE10, it's a great school academically, and it's a school athletically that's really putting a lot of money into the programs. There's, you know, great athletic director in Matt Bassett that has commitment to athletics, and you can see it's on the up and up. So there's a lot of excitement here, which I feel that, you know, you need that in order to be able to recruit kids, as well as, you know, to feel in your heart that, you know, we can get there. And, you know, we've made some progress. You know, we're getting to the playoffs last year. This year is something that they haven't done in quite a few years at Lemoyne. So, you know, the progress, although maybe small, you know, I definitely think that, you know, these small steps are going to bring into some huge steps in the near future.
When you look at your last season, and like you said, you know, taking those steps and going into a positive future, last season being your first season at Lemoyne as the head coach, 15 wins, 9 better than the season before. You get into the Northeast 10 championships and defeat St. Anselm in the first round, and that was the first postseason win since 2008 for Lemoyne. So doing that for the first time since 2008, 15 wins, tying 2007, 2008, and 2008, 2009 campaigns. A lot of things that you did in your first season were things that Lemoyne hadn't seen in a few years. What brought to that immediate success for you to step in last year and to automatically boost the team up? How much credit do you take yourself, and how much do you give to the team and the players that were there already?
Well, I definitely feel that, you know, I inherited some really good players, as well as some people that were just ready to win, you know. So, and for myself, we were all in this position where we kind of all needed a boost, you know. So, you know, these players had it won. They were committed to winning. Whatever we were about to tell them to do, I felt that they were going to do. So, you know, I think that was a big thing. You know, when you have a team or people in your managing group that is buying into everything that you're saying, it's fairly easy to get them on the right page. And I did think that for what we were doing X's and O's wise, we had the right ingredient, especially last year, you know, in getting our players to not only, you know, score points, but also to defend. So I think a little bit of it is you need talent. And we were lucky enough last year to have a transfer point guard, Kayla Stroman, that was with us last year. And I think you have to have a good point guard to win games. She came on board for a year, and that helped us. We brought in a transfer post player that helped us as well. But I think the core players really were the key to our success, and that, you know, they were committed to listening to what our culture, our philosophy was about, to making changes and doing it on a consistent basis. It wasn't just the first win. It was going all the way through the season, whether we were winning, you know, early on, hitting a few bumps and getting back on board, you know, to going into the playoffs and winning the first game. It was a great year to make changes, you know, into the program. And this year the same, you know. It's just that this year we've had some injuries that have kind of given us a few bumps in the road, but I could say the same thing. We've made some huge strides in where we're at, and, you know, being able to consistently make playoffs, I think, says a lot too about what we've done.
When you look at everything that you've learned, everything you've taken from Sister Maria, and everything that she helped you with, the other coaches that you were with, to take all of your experience, all the learning you've had, the talent that you have, the passion that you have, and to put it all together, Gina, what is your mission statement for Lemoyne, and what is your mission statement as a leader in the community going forward with what your expectations are and what you want the team to accomplish?
Yeah, great. Another great question. You know, I always say, you know, I said this to my assistants in high end, you know, the biggest thing for me as a coach and beyond X's and O's is that you show your players how much you care. You know, I certainly feel like that is the most important piece to motivating any kid or any person to getting them to be their best. If players understand how much you care about them and how much you're willing to, you know, put forth and making them and helping them improve, they're going to give the extra effort. And I really feel that that's really the base and the foundation of what I'm about. You know, beyond that, you know, we have our philosophy and what we tell our players. But for me personally, I believe that that's the most important thing. If you can't show how much you care, those kids aren't going to give you anything. And that's really the bottom line, is trying to get your players to perform at the highest level day in and day out. And I do believe that it's been very successful for us and for me personally, and that's really the basis of what I gauge everything on.
Well, thank you so much for, you know, everything that you've done to take the time and to, you know, talk about this team and to truly tell your story. I appreciate it.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much.